Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, our mission is to connect those seeking help with a provider who offers the faith-based care they need. At CCC, we offer free mental health assessments for the user to help gauge their psychological and emotional well-being, as well as free self-help blog resources to help educate readers on topics such as depression, anxiety, and more. Christian Care Connect bridges the gap between those seeking help and the caregivers offering it, fostering connections rooted in clinical excellence. If you're looking for help, it's closer than you think. And if you're a provider who's ready to offer help, this site is for you too. Visit ChristianCareConnect.com to find the help you need or get listed as a provider. That's ChristianCareConnect.com.
Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. And on behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, visit AACCFoundation.org to donate. Your gift will ensure that this program and your station remain on the air. Now, let's join our host, Dr. Tim Clinton.
Thanks, Jim. I am that Dr. Tim Clinton. Our special guest today on the show is Lane Lawson Craft. Lane is an incredible speaker, podcast host, and best-selling author of multiple books, including her newest release, Warfare Parenting: A Daily Battle Plan to Fight for Your Child. Lane's going to share the incredible work God did in her own life to reconcile her three former prodigal children with her reuniting her family after it seemed like all hope was lost. If you're a parent, especially one of adult children, you want to lean in, turn this up. So let's get started. Lane, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for bringing light to this very important subject today.
Congrats on your book, Warfare Parenting. I know it's exploded. It's all over the internet. God's doing some special things. It's a daily battle plan to fight for your child. Lane, I believe a lot of parents are getting it right. Today's generations, in a lot of ways, they love their kids. They have set limits for them. They're trying to maybe do things a little differently, say, than their mom and dad did. But Lane, I also know this. You don't have to go very far into the scriptures and realize that we're in a battle. If you have any value to God, I believe all hell will be against you. If your marriage has any value to God, I believe all hell will be against you. If your kids have any value to God, I believe all hell will be against you. Lane, set the stage for us here just for a moment. There's some backwater here. This book came out of a journey that you've been on, and we all have heard the story of prodigals, and just a little bit more. I was at a recent church service, Lane, and the invitation was given, if you have a prodigal son or daughter that you would like to pray for, we want to invite you to come forward and simply put a note at the altar, and we want to join you in praying for and standing with you. Lane, the altar was flooded. I couldn't believe it. Seriously, and I thought, that's an issue in culture.
Well, I think what makes this story so unique and at the same time so powerful is that I want to start with 17 years in our marriage. Steve and I were entrepreneurs, and we had three kids in 3 years, and life was layering up for us, and our marriage became dead, and we were living on opposite ends of the house, and we were doing all the right things, like you're saying. We were checking all the boxes, going to church, singing on praise team. But our marriage was dead. So we decided, hey, we're pretty assertive and professional. There's probably no chance that we'll stay single if we divorce. So it occurred to us, Tim, that maybe this God that we were showing up for might show up for us. So we got to our knees and we said, God, if you're for real, please resurrect this marriage. And Tim, he did. I want to say it was immediate that we looked at each other differently, but we went to months of counseling. We had to relearn a dance. And the reason I mention this is that is when God took me out of the secular world. I had an advertising agency and into the mission field. He said, Lane, you're that religious woman that was turned around to relationship. I resurrected your marriage. Now I want you to go share to everyone that I'm real. I mention this because that was the anchor, Tim, when all three of my children were in a prodigal stage, and yet I was doing everything I thought God had called me to. I was a publisher of a national magazine in every bookstore in America and Canada. It was sitting next to Oprah and all of these magazines, and it had people like Dolly Parton, all the women of Duck Dynasty, very famous people where faith mattered in their life. But I found out at that time, I had three teenagers that were literally being sucked in by the darkness of the world. So I had to mention that because you're right. There are a lot of believing parents and grandparents and loved ones that are literally watching their child that they love get beyond rescue, it seems.
Lynn, I've seen a lot of portraits of pain in my life, but some of the most horrific have come where moms and dads are desperate to reconcile with their own children. I had a phone call not long ago from a dad who said, Tim, I don't even know where my daughter is right now tonight. I have no idea where she's at. I am terrified that she's going to be murdered. Lane, I think when kids come into the world, we have a lot of hopes and dreams for them. Julie and I have two granddaughters, Olivia and Sophia. I spent the weekend playing with them, drawing pictures. I'm inside their dollhouse. I mean, inside their world. We're talking Mario and, you know, Luigi, all kinds of things. I mean, it's just, we're outside on the swing set. And Lane, I was just in my quiet time praying earnestly over them and for them because I know they're growing up in a world that it just seems like all hell is against them. Lane, we're living at a time when algorithms literally target our kids. So you know how much screen time kids have now, and they're up there. If they click a word, they're getting flooded. It's like they can hear through the speakers, if you will, of their own phones, what conversations that are going on even around them. So, I mean, it's hellish about what we're up against and parents are up against in this moment.
Yeah. Well, you know, I say often, our children are clickbait. I don't know if you've heard of that term, but you know, the enemy's out there just waiting as they stream and as they scroll to one click away from the wrong vision, the wrong click away with the wrong person, one click away from, you know, one drug that may get them where they don't wake up the next day. It's incredible. And that again is what is so unique in our world today. Technology, the internet, all of these things, our culture, our media, everything is out to seek, kill, and destroy them.
Lane, in our hopes and dreams, we never probably imagine having a son or daughter who struggles with drugs or alcohol or maybe pornography. And, you know, I reflect even back into the garden. God gave Adam and Eve the most perfect environment, and they wound up going a different direction. And so in light of all that, as we evaluate who we are as parents and this new journey that we're on, fighting for our kids, a lot of parents struggle just to get energy and to keep going because they feel overwhelming senses of shame or what have you. Lane, start speaking to this fight, this battle, and how we're going to win this war.
Yes, and I'm so glad you brought that up. And that's why I referenced, you know, the success of the magazine and all, because here I was, you know, on a national platform, and yet my children were getting arrested, landing in jail again, flipping a car while intoxicated. So there was a lot of shame. It took me a long time. It was an aha moment, though, when I realized, listen, this is an all-out assault on my children. Because what's the best way to get to us as mamas or grandmamas? It's our children and grandchildren. So when I began to realize, hey, this is a battle beyond my physical, beyond me being a mama that loves these children so deeply, I realized it was the devil. And you know, I necessarily think that he's after their destinies. I'm convinced. I've had so many people that write me and their kids were in the middle of law school or med school, and they were at a place where they needed rest or wanted to focus more, and they would borrow a a pill from a friend and they wouldn't wake up. I mean, these are good kids that are being entangled in this war.
Lane, you are going beyond, just for a moment, general conversations around parenting. For example, we're not saying that we don't need to be responsible as parents and spend time with our kids. We're not saying that we don't need to show up in their world and develop a relationship with them. We're not saying that we don't want to shut down legalism that might drive our kids out of the home. We got all that. What we're saying is, yes, in this journey, we're thinking and we're knowing that there's another level going on here that often we don't give too much attention to. You know that? And that is, this is a hellish fight. Ephesians 6, 10 through 20 is that passage on spiritual warfare. You know that? Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you're able to stand against the wiles of the evil one, because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. And so in the middle of this, somewhere, we've got to begin to realize again that if you have any value to God, all hell will be against you, will be against your marriage, will be against your kids, and you're going to have to fight at that level is what we're saying here.
Absolutely. And listen, I'm going to take it up even another notch. What I realized, not only was I serving the kingdom, loving the Lord with all my heart, and trying desperately to guide these children back into that, you know, mindset and journey, I had to start literally pleading the blood of Jesus over my children. You know, we don't talk about that a lot. It's something that I don't know if we're just afraid of in this culture, but I started going back to the roots of Father God, in the name of Jesus and the blood of Christ, please, Father, first and foremost, protect them. I read, you know, that boys specifically are 25 years old before their frontal lobe develops. And that means making good choices. So I started praying, Father God, in the name of Jesus and the blood, please keep them alive till they're 25. And I literally would pray that often. But then the second part of that prayer would be, Father, give them your wisdom. Because I know from experience, you know, it takes God's wisdom. That's the beginning of fear. That's when you start leaning in Him instead of ourselves. So I say it's essential. The number one way to defeat the enemy, and listen, this is for yourself too. I mean, I would gain courage. I would gain strength when I would plead this blood, because I knew and I was confident I was putting it in God's hands and in Jesus' miraculous powers to reach out to these kids.
Lane, I want to ask you then, the mindset that you began to develop, because you're going to develop a strategy here. Take us into what was happening. I wrote down the names of your kids, Stephen, Lawson, and Kaylee. How are you approaching life, God, and this battle inside of your own heart and mind?
Yes, yeah, so in the season, what's kind of, in a regretful way, I didn't know my daughter. She was the first prodigal that had the touch of God. I didn't realize, Tim, how deeply these mean girls, this culture of not fitting in if you don't act a certain way. She was about 17, 18, and praise God, she had a friend, and they had been to a Bible study, and they got into the car, and Kaylee started sobbing uncontrollably and telling this friend, I've got to tell somebody. I keep hearing voices in my head that life would be better without me in it. And just was very at a place where this voice had been coming over and over again. And praise God, this friend held her hands and said, Kaylee, let's pray. And they began to pray, Tim. And the presence of God was so heavy that Kaylee said she immediately felt a warm flush from head to toe. The tears dried. And this was the beginning of her journey to never turn back. And now she helps others, and she's 30 and a new mom, and helping others overcome that dark voice that sometimes our kids hear. Lawson was in college and got into this. Well, before then, he battled with drugs and alcohol, and then he got caught up in these concerts these kids go to, and he was on these mind-altering drugs and just really kind of in a zombie state at some of these concerts. And this lasted about 6 or 7 years. And one day, Tim, for 24 hours, we counted 10 or 12 ways that Lawson literally could have lost his life down here. And thank God we intervened, and it's too long to get into, but at the end of that 24 hours, Lawson landed in his father's arms with a busted lip that he did not remember that required plastic surgery, holes in his feet from oyster shells, bleeding. And he said, I'll never go another day not remembering every second. So what the enemy meant for harm to kill my son in 24 hours, God came in and rescued him. But I think the most powerful story is Stephen. He was about 12 years old, and one of his friends, that was a doctor's kid, brought him upstairs to the third floor and showed him porn for the first time at 12. And Stephen is convinced that was the gate that took him on a 15-year journey of drugs, alcohol, womanizing, porn. And if you don't mind, I'd love to share that he was high on cocaine 15 years into this journey at a party, and he had called an Uber to get to the next party. And when the Uber driver came, he was from another country in ministry, and Stephen got in the car and he said, hey, Stephen, I think I need to pray for you. And Stephen said, wow, okay, man. And the man started praying, Tim. And when he started praying, Stephen said, I knew I was high, but the dark presence of the Lord, when I mean dark, he covered Stephen so heavily that he fell to the floorboard of this Uber car. And he started sobbing to God because he realized he was in the presence of God. And that was the touch of God that turned his life around to begin the journey of healing.
Lane, as I listen to you, I know people are turning up the radio because we've got a lot of families out there who are in the midst of the battle, even right this very moment. They're weeping, they're crying over their own kids. I mean, desperately saying, God, would you intervene, do a miracle? And we believe in the power of God. And by faith, we claim those things. We know that. Lane, I want you to keep us going on this journey of what does it mean in this battle? You remember the scene where Jesus said, hey, this one here is going to take serious prayer and fasting. In other words, there's a whole nother level going on here in this particular case, this situation. And maybe there are families out there who really feel like they're under an assault like they've never experienced before. It's just like, I don't know what you're thinking. It's been a rough go over the last few years, Lane. And in particular, we know even the CDC is reporting things like this, that 57% of our daughters feel persistently sad, and that 30% of our daughters and our granddaughters seriously contemplated suicide. That's not a mental health crisis. That's a mental health disaster. That's a family disaster. We are in an absolute throwdown for our kids, Lane. We are. How do we, by faith, continue to step in the midst of this when it seems like nothing's working, like our prayers are bouncing off the ceiling and we're in absolute chaos, desperately reaching toward God?
Well, I call it a full-on war, isn't it? I mean, this is a battle in a war. And, you know, the enemy started years ago destroying the family. You know, some other statistics is that 60% of our children are now being raised without a mom and dad in the home. So, you know, he started with the family and now he's after the children. So if you're in that battle, I would mostly say, remember, it takes a full circle. So half of the battle you might be fighting in the physical way. And listen, that means counseling, self-care, those things that you've got to do because you've got to sustain strength. I mean, I'll never forget how weary I became, how desperate my heart would break in a million pieces when I had hopes they had changed and they had not. So you've got to do all that you can for yourself because remember, we can only give out what we have. So I highly recommend, you know, getting counseling, get with someone you trust and start sharing these emotions instead of tucking them in because I certainly know from personal experience that will also bring you into destruction too. But then you've just got to bring in that spiritual side. And really what I had to do, I had to learn a new level of surrender. I don't know about who's listening, but I kind of felt like I was controlling the situation to some point. I was you know, in the battle, you know, giving consequences that were broken and things like that. But when I kind of went to that, you know, Abraham Isaac situation, you know, where Abraham was asked to sacrifice what he, you know, thought was his son. And yet Jesus and God stopped that right before he was going to at the altar kill his son. So where I'm getting at, that took terrific amounts of surrendering. So I began to realize, man, this kid was God's first. God hand knit him in my womb, and he had, it's a masterpiece. He had a plan for Stephen. And when I started realizing that God loved Stephen more than I could even imagine, and that he had a plan, that is when I started surrendering all of my wishes and all of my things to God and saying, God, here is Stephen. Please help me. Please give me the knowledge I need. Please give me the tools. Give me the encouragement. And that came in different ways. Like I said, I began really coming to God in a private way and just pouring out my heart to him first and foremost. And I never left those experiences the same. I always felt the touch of God.
Lane, I'm assuming your children are doing well now and that there's some happy story to be told here. I want to say this with that, not all prodigal stories have happy endings. Some listening are still estranged and they weep day and night for their kids. Others maybe have lost a prodigal. What would you say to that mom or dad listening?
Yes. So in the Parents' Battle Plan, I mentioned that for a whole chapter. And it's talking about how we pray for miracles for our prodigal. And I address that because I know personally it is by the grace of God that my children are alive, literally alive and well today in the physical. But there are a lot of parents today that have lost their kids to suicide, fentanyl poisoning, and things like that. So I didn't want to come across Pollyanna, like this is what you do and the outcome is great. No, listen, we're in war and there are casualties in war. And so I tell parents that have lost a child or have been estranged for a long time, the miracle that you prayed for is not what you're living in. The miracle is that you're here. The miracle is that you have been given the strength by God to show up today.
Lane, tell us about your children as we go.
So they're like their mom and dad. They're entrepreneurs. Our eldest, which was the longest going prodigal, Stephen, he's married to a beautiful woman, Madison, and they have a grandbaby, our grandbaby, Elle Lively, and she's 16 months old, and he has an insurance brokerage and doing fantastic. And then Lawson, my middle child, he's 31. He's still single, waiting for the right one. And he is a real estate investor and doing really well and sells real estate too. And then my baby girl is Kaylee. She's 30 and she is pregnant now and has a 14-month-old little boy and doing fantastic. And they all three, you know, what's powerful, and I know from personal experience, when you've been touched by God in such a powerful, supernatural way, you're never the same. And so they're all Holy Spirit filled. They are touching their own peers and people they work with and stopping and praying because they know that one touch from God can change everything.
I mean, what a story. God save our children. Our special guest today has been Lane Lawson Craft. By the way, there are two resources you need to get up online right now. The Parents' Battle Plan, Warfare Strategies to Win Back Your Prodigal. And also there's a devotional up there. I love this too. It's beautiful. Warfare Parenting, a Daily Battle Plan to Fight for Your Child.
Yes, and listen, at my website, they can read the first 10 days free. They can read the first chapter free in the Parents' Battle Plan. A lot of free resources to get their victory.
Lane, where can they find you?
Yes, lanelawsoncraft.com.
lanelawsoncraft.com. Lane, what a delight to have you on the broadcast today. I'm going to tell you what, this will not be the only time. We're going to have you back for sure. A lot more conversation around this, and a lot of moms and dads really appreciate this kind of a message. We know that God is in the midst of all of it, and God, we cry out to you and pray that you would do something so supernatural that only you could get the glory. God save our children. Lane, what a delight to have you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, our mission is to connect those seeking help with a provider who offers the faith-based care they need. At CCC, we offer free mental health assessments for the user to help gauge their psychological and emotional well-being, as well as free self-help blog resources to help educate readers on topics such as depression, anxiety, and more. Christian Care Connect bridges the gap between those seeking help and the caregivers offering it, fostering connections rooted in clinical excellence. If you're looking for help, it's closer than you think. And if you're a provider who's ready to offer help, this site is for you too. Visit ChristianCareConnect.com to find the help you need or get listed as a provider. That's ChristianCareConnect.com.